Daddy gang, I am so excited for today's guest. Are you ready? Sierra is here. She is a Grammy award-winning triple platinum musician. She's also an entrepreneur, cover model, fashion icon, wife, mother. I mean, goddamn, is there anything that she doesn't do? I cannot wait to sit down with her and get to know her today. I remember being so obsessed with her music when I was younger, fully had a dance routine to 1-2-Step. I still remember the choreography to this day. Maybe I will have to show her my dance moves. She like fully leaves and walks out. She's like, you're so bad. No, but in all honesty, you guys, if you think about it, in her 2-decade-long career, Sierra has seen ups and downs, but our girls always come out on top. And Daddy Gang, we're getting into it today. We are going to discuss toxic relationships, knowing your worth, leveling up in all aspects of life. This episode is going to be, I already know it, full of wisdom and advice and just things that are going to make you feel good, okay? So come hang out with me and Sierra. Sierra! This beat is... She's like, I'm not coming in now. Let's go!
What is up, Daddy Gang? It is your founding father, Alex Cooper, with Call Her Daddy.
Sierra, welcome to Call Her Daddy.
Thank you for having me.
I am so happy you're here. First of all, congrats on your pregnancy.
Thank you.
Talk to me. How far along are you?
Oh my gosh. I don't say how far along I am because I'm kind of funny on marking the time.
Okay.
Because the most important wish is a healthy baby
yeah.
and desire. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when you mark time, it kind of puts pressure on the time marker.
Totally.
But I am, the bump is bumping. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling a little, I would say big and slow, but you know, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling grateful.
So this is baby number 4.
Number 4.
Did you always want a big family?
I did. I'm an only child. So I think because of that, like I used to always beg my mom and dad for a brother or sister.
Mm-hmm.
Like, please, 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 can you have another baby? And they would be like, it's not happening. And then I kind of like being a only child as I got into my teens. I'm like, this actually works out. It's all about me.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
This episode is presented by Sparkling Ice. Turn up summer with Sparkling Ice. They have over 17 anything but subtle flavors, all made with zero sugar and packed with vitamins and antioxidants. Iced tea and lemonade, strawberry watermelon, tropical punch, peach nectarine. Yum. Crank up the flavor. Sparkling Ice, anything but subtle. This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Some things work so well. It's basically magic. Like my favorite highlighters that I'm like, wow, how did you all of a sudden make me look glowing? And you know what else really works, Daddy Gang? Shopify. It is a global commerce platform that helps you sell. I've seen a big difference in my online merch sales. They are especially good at turning browsers into buyers. I can see someone that's been on the site but didn't check out, or someone that checked out and then is revisiting the site. Like, if you want to grow your business, Daddy Gang, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/unwell, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/unwell.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
I am such a big fan, and this year marks the 20th anniversary of your debut album, Goodies.
Yes, yes.
It is crazy to think that, because it's like you've just done so much in your career, but to think back to those OG days, I'm wondering, like, what does it make you feel when you know that people 20 years later are still so obsessed, so in love with the original hits?
Oh my goodness, I feel grateful. Mm-hmm. It's actually, this is the 19th year, the 20th year is coming up.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but knowing that I'm about to enter that year, I feel a heart full of gratitude. It makes me feel motivated, you know. It's so funny because it also just reminds you why you just keep on going, like why you don't stop, why you don't stop believing, and you stay committed to your vision. Because when I was young, I was like, I spoke so much into like the things that I saw happening for myself. And it's kind of crazy. Like, I had a goal sheet. So my goal sheet, I was like 14 years old when I wrote it down before I got discovered. I had three goals. So the first goal was to get discovered.
Okay.
And then I wrote on how I was going to get discovered. So I'm going to get talent shows and all this kind of stuff. And then my second goal was, once I got discovered, to sell 3 to 4 million albums. And I did 5, which was a blessing. So check off 1 and check off 2. And 3 was longevity. So it was broad, but I was still like envisioning like long-term success. So to know that having a vision as a young girl, dreaming big, and it actually happens.
Dude.
It's kind of crazy, because that's kind of the story of my life. Like, I speak a lot of life into like a lot that happens to me. And I envision it before it happens. And it's crazy that we're sitting here almost 20 years in.
It's also crazy to hear you at 14 putting that goal list together. I'm like, what the fuck was I doing at 14? Like, picking my nose and like getting on Accutane. I was like, oh shit. Like, damn. Like, were you always that ambitious? And were your parents like, go Sierra? Or were they ever like, oh my God, slow down, like chill. You don't need to be doing all this at this young of an age.
Yeah, well, my mom and my dad were supportive. And I always say, the one thing I can say I'm truly thankful for is that they allowed me to do what I wanted to do. Like, they didn't stop me. My mom was more, you know, she had more reservations than my dad did about the music industry, because she watched all those VH1 like True Story. I forget what they call the show. What was the show called? Do you remember?
Something like True Hollywood Story.
Something like that.
It never ends good. It's not.
Yeah, basically. It's like all the bad stuff. So you watch those shows and you're like,
fuck.
Yeah, it's a little scary. Like, is that what my daughter's getting into? My mom was thinking that way. So I think she was a little like, what's that music industry world about? But she still allowed me to do it. Mm-hmm. And she was super supportive. My mom and my dad, where my dad would travel late nights to the studio with me, sleep on the sofa while I'm recording in the booth, drive me back home, get ready for school. He was in it. They both were supportive. So, you know, I'm glad they let me do that, right? I'm glad they allowed me that opportunity, and I will never forget that for my babies.
Yeah.
Like, I gotta like let them pursue their dreams and what they're passionate about. So I've taken a note from that. A
couple notes from your parents.
Yeah, just a
I love
few.
That.
Just a few.
Just a couple.
Yeah, yeah.
You've done so much in your career. When you reflect on your career, and I know this is kind of hard to answer, but like, what is the most iconic moment in your mind of your career?
Oh my goodness. That's hard.
I know.
You know, I will say, I think Goodies was very special for me, because it put me on the map. My first single was number one for 8 weeks long. We were breaking records and all this cool stuff then, which was really amazing. And it was kind of that moment of like, where my identity was established like right away, but it was clear on like who this girl was, like Sierra from Atlanta, CeCe from Atlanta. But here to stay kind of energy, I feel. And I think even the imagery of things that we did, like the swimsuit with the jeans, and I wear my tall boxer boots. I couldn't go anywhere without the high top. High tops are still my thing to this day.
I love
it. But the boxer boots were like my jam. I needed my wrestling boots, actually.
Yeah, I feel like it was something that like everyone will always remember. Like, it, fashion-wise, music-wise, like... Yeah. As a woman, like, it was just so iconic. I remember when it came out. I like still listen to it to this day. I remember making up also like, oh my God. And then when 1-2-Step came out, and I was like making up the like most awkward dances, like with my friends, thinking we're like hot shit. Like, it wasn't hot, just to clarify, Sierra. It was not as hot as you.
I know,
but
it was cute.
No, yeah, okay. But I just think about you at that young age though. And I'm curious, like, if you can take me back a little bit to like, what was life like? You're coming out with music, you're rising to fame, and you're only 18 years old. Like,
yeah.
What was your life like at that time?
So I was always super, super focused, super driven, you know, very, very headstrong.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when I was like put my vision together for the project, I'm like, I'm gonna do like this, and I'm gonna do like that, and I'm gonna do this, and it's gonna be this. Like, and I was very clear on my vision. Like, no one could tell me anything different. And I was very opinionated at a young age.
I relate in some ways to that of just being like so, like headstrong and like, I know what I'm doing. Like, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make this happen.
Yeah.
Sometimes I've experienced, though, you almost struggle to pause and be happy for yourself in a moment of like, oh shit, like I did this.
Yeah.
Do you have a moment in your career at that young age where you were able to stop and be like, oh damn, like I made it. Like that one I made it moment. Do you remember that?
I think maybe a small blip of that was winning a Grammy.
Oh, just a that little.
That was a very special moment for me because I'd always dreamt of something as, like, that's like the Super Bowl for music, right? It's like, it doesn't get any higher than that award. So for me, that was super special and significant. But to be honest with you, my world was going so fast. So as you can imagine, it literally was like the first 10 songs in my career, whether it was my song or collaboration, they were all top 10, top five, top three records or number one records. So I don't think I really allowed myself until a little bit later to stop and like really realize where I was. And I think you realize it even more when you have a challenge, when you face adversity. That's when you go, oh, you start to realize like, okay, exactly where things were, you know, and then when you're determined, you stay at it, you fight through it, you battle through your challenges and you keep it moving and you keep on staying on the track because that's all a part of it. But my true made it moment, though, I will say if I could pick a moment where I'm like, oh, like was definitely winning a Grammy.
Damn. I think a lot of people are like, I hope that's my I made it moment where I win a Grammy. Here we go. Hearing you, obviously, like, you're such a savvy businesswoman, and I'm just sitting here like thinking of you because your career started so young. Like, what was the hardest business lesson that you had to learn early on?
Ooh, you gotta leave your emotions at the door. Like, you know, there's a time and a place for sincerity and being emotional, especially as a woman. So early on, I learned that, you know, I'm like, in business, there's no gray. It's only black and white, right? So if you can, you know, find the way to manage your emotions, you know, that's, it's game changing. Because you also realize that a lot of people in our industry don't really care for your emotions. A lot of people don't really care in general. It's like, what can you do for me in this moment? What can you do for me in general? That's kind of the mentality from a lot of people, a lot of my experiences. And then when you know the good ones, you hold on to them and you value them. But I think being a young woman, being determined, you know, and all that good stuff, and having to like manage my stuff, like, mind you, my parents weren't like, you know, navigating this world for me. I was a young girl, like hiring and firing and doing, I mean, like everything. So the emotions I had to learn early, take them, leave them at the door.
Do you think that like on a personal level, like how did you stay grounded while you're getting like famous and pictures and everything? Like, where did you find your center core?
I'll be honest with you, I'm a spiritual girl, right? I think a lot of people know that. But so for me, my foundation was that I had faith. I know who God and Jesus is. Like, that's important for me, right? Everybody has their thing. But I think that kind of helps to keep me like level set. The people around me, like to this day, I still call my boy Jasper, who I met when I was like 14 years old, recording my first song. Like, he was there in the booth with me. So mind you, that's 20 plus years of relationship. My best friend and makeup artist, who's been in my career since I was 16, my first professional shoot as a solo artist, actually my first professional shoot in general, she did that. So we're 20 plus years of friendship, and she's my matron of honor. My team, I stay pretty consistent. I try to keep it like, I'm a creature of habit. I think consistency is key, but I do believe having people, having that consistent group of people and circle of people that I can trust and know they got my back, I think that was a big part that really helped me to stay like level-headed and to be able to reset or have a place to go to. Because I always say, I don't care how strong you are, I don't care how capable you are, you have to have somebody you can talk to. Like, that is so important, because the one thing that is very detrimental to, can be detrimental to a person, is when you bottle stuff in and you don't have a place to go. So for me, I think having a place to go has always been a great thing for me, or someone I can trust and talk to. Even if it's just one person, like, everybody doesn't have to know your stuff, like, you know, but just one person, If you have one, you have enough for me personally. And then, of course, I pray and all that good stuff.
I appreciate you sharing that because, again, obviously, most people that are going to listen, like, they can't relate to maybe some parts of your life. But that's some of the most relatable shit is, like, making sure that you have good people around you.
Yeah.
And actually people that you trust. And it doesn't have to be a lot of people. But I think if you don't have good people, you can lose your way. Because you if you're then you're potentially hanging out with people that could sway you or you don't trust. And
absolutely.
Then you have trust issues. It's like making sure you know people are there for the right reasons. Which sometimes you can't. You have to just trust.
100%.
And sometimes you get screwed over.
100%. You got to have people that you know are going to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
That will, you know, hold you accountable. But it's also how do they hold themselves? Like, how do they live their lives too, right? You can't have the wrong people feeding you, like you said. Like, that's when it is dangerous, right? And one thing I have learned is that when you're vulnerable, that is the most crucial spot that you to listen to the right person.
Because
you can listen to the wrong person when you're vulnerable and they can send you completely left, right?
So
like, that's the thing about life. It's like amazing how one decision can change your life for better or for worse. One decision, right? So who's feeding you when you're vulnerable? Like, that's so important.
You even see some celebrities and you can tell, like, the people that maybe don't have people with the right intentions in their camp. Because it's like, of course, like, you guys at some point can be just reduced to like an object of like, go here, go here, go here. We're all making money off of you. And at some point you have to decide, like, you're the one that keeps it all moving. So you have to advocate for yourself in some capacity.
You have
to. Keep those people that actually have the right intentions
and
the right, like, they want the best for you.
That's
hard, though. That's hard.
It's hard. But you know, my thing is like, there's a line in the Bible. It talks about, what good is it for a man to gain the world and lose his soul? One of my greatest fears is to have a certain amount of success that's like the highest level, but to not know who I am. And I'm very, very I'm very intentional about that. Like, making sure I'm checking myself too.
Yeah.
Like, I got to check myself sometimes too. And it's like, I want to be incredibly successful, but I don't want it that much. I'm like lost in the end.
Right. Imagine it all comes out. We pray we all get to 80, 90.
Yeah.
And you're like, I did it for all, what, I got no one around me. I got nothing that I don't even know who the hell I am.
I'm
glad I got the Grammys and the awards and the albums, but like,
and
who am I?
Empty. Yeah.
Empty.
That I'm so terrified of that. And I see it happen so often in my industry. Like, a lot of the greats that I respected and admired, a lot of their stories, like, it's not that beautiful story that you saw and why you fell in love with what they do. And I'm just like, man, like, that's not truly living to me. Like, it can't, the success of my life can also be based off of the materialistic stuff and the awards and all those great things. Like, that just can't be enough to fill my cup, because honestly, sometimes those things don't happen for you when you want them to happen anyways. Like, there's still things that I wish I, you know, could do, or I'm hoping to do, and it may not happen. So I've got to make sure I have a level set and understanding of, like, what is my definition of success?
Right.
When you're so young, you look so far ahead, like, and you should. You should look far ahead and you should dream big, but you're like sometimes so honed in on, like, you know, all these things that you have so much time to get to. And it's like, you know, you got to have perspective, right?
So
you got to like stay rooted within yourself and know who you are along the way, because you can lose yourself.
It's so true. And I appreciate you saying that, because it's like, I feel like we right now, our culture is very like, go, go, go. You want more. We want the coolest fashion. We want money. We want success. We want the big cars and the houses and the cool things. And if you don't have it, then you're a loser and you're not as cool. It's like, there's just so much comparison right now. And especially for women, it's just like the aging aspect, and like, we're not good enough if we don't get the, there's just so much. What is something that you learned in your 20s that you still carry with you to this day that you can share with us?
Patience. I really, that's one of my favorite words. Well, actually, perspective is one of my favorite words, but also patience. I would say patience is everything. You know, sometimes, like I say, you want things to happen at a certain marker for you, and they may not happen until you're 50 or 60 years old. You just don't know, right? So to me, you got to have patience in the process, like, trust the timing that's meant for you. Things are going to happen for you when they're supposed to. Even for me, I have to remind myself, when stuff is ugly, I'm like, this is a part of life. Right? This is, you're supposed to have a little bit of the ugly. Like I say, sometimes you have to go through the ugly to get to the pretty. Right?
Even also you saying earlier, you were like, I didn't even stop in moments, because like, when everything's going well, you
just
keep
going.
Moving. And the hardest moments are the moments that you actually are hip checked with yourself to be like, whoa, first of all, so grateful for the good times.
Yeah.
Because this shit's rough right now. And you then gain that perspective.
Yeah.
I also think what you're saying about patience is really important too, especially with people in this young generation. I feel it, of like the patience of like, the comparison is, oh my God, that person got that job and I didn't get the job, or I didn't get the thing I wanted. And it's like, we're comparing ourselves to the person around us or our friends around us.
Yeah.
Everything moves at a different pace.
Yeah, it does.
And the reason you didn't get that job is for a reason, because you're going to get another thing.
I'm trying to tell you.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Though.
And sometimes too, things look pretty on the outside, but you don't know what somebody's going through when you're like looking at what they have going and you want what they have.
Girl,
you don't know what they're going through.
No clue,
right? So it's like, you got to trust your own timing. Like, you know, it's so much better that way. Like, do you know what's crazy for me is I remember, like, in the days of me, you know, being signed to traditional labels, and I would look up and I watch other artists. Like, I'm like, I've been around the block for like a long time, but she just come in and she like looking like she rolling two times faster than what I just like, and I'm busting my butt. Like, I'm like, I know I work hard and she works. Like, I know she ain't showing up how I show. And it looks like the world is just going so taken off of them. It's like, you know what? Like, that's for them. Like, and celebrate it too, actually. I think there's something really good about celebrating the success of others, because when it's your time, it's gonna happen for you. Things take time.
Yeah.
Right?
It's so true. And it's also like you said, like, if someone pops off so fast and it's so different, like, we don't know what they're going through. Maybe they're also really struggling. Like, who the hell has popped off so fast and been like, mental health is at 100? Like, it's not a thing.
It gets crazy. And sometimes too, I think when you go so fast in the beginning, you don't have much to look forward to, or you don't appreciate it. Like, I appreciate every step of the way for myself because of what I've gone through.
Facts.
And I know for a fact I wouldn't have appreciated it if I had everything given to me, the world given to me when I wanted it, you know, when I wanted it, basically. Yep. And it's like me telling my kids, like, you can't have everything at, you know, can you imagine how crazy the world would be if we had everything we wanted when we wanted it? Like, that would be nuts.
Nuts.
Like,
we'd all be miserable.
Crazy. Like, crazy. Like, we'd be running around like crazy town.
People.
All of it. I'm telling you, everybody be lost. Like, you know, like, losing it too.
So true.
So there's something to, like, you know, the struggle. There's something to adversity. There's something to getting knocked down and getting back up. There's something to, like, all of that good stuff, right?
Yeah.
And just, like, trust the process. Like, if it's meant for you, it's going to happen for you when it's supposed to, how it's supposed to, and it's going to be so great.
It is kind of about the process of, like, letting things play out.
Then
you appreciate it more. You have more understanding of who you are as a human being. When you go through more shit, like,
you
come out on top because you have learned experiences rather than just getting it all. You're like, oh, this was easy.
Yes.
Speaking of relationships, I want to talk to you about love and relationships. Obviously, you're married to Russell Wilson, the Denver Broncos quarterback. We love that for you. It's so cute to see. Like, it seems like you guys have such a healthy and loving relationship. I see online people commenting like, Sierra, like, where do I find my Russell? Like, where do I find, like, my couple goals? And obviously, in order to get to a healthy relationship, you got to go through things before you get to that point. And I want to talk to you a little bit about growing and learning and how you got to where you are now. Around the time that you met Russell, you were going through a really public and what looked like painful breakup. And I think about, like, leaving a relationship is so hard to make that decision, especially, I'm assuming, as you, when you have a child. How did you know for yourself it was time to leave?
Oh my goodness. When you know you're supposed to make a super defined decision in your life, you know it from, like, the head to your feet, from your feet to your head, and your soul and your body, you know it. And it's almost like your taste buds change, right? You have a taste bud for a certain kind of thing, and then the taste buds just go. You got to sometimes also look in the mirror and reflect on yourself too, right? Like, okay, what are things that I could be doing differently in my life? Or, you know, what's a part of what I'm looking for a change, but what does that mean? So you have to kind of define everything about making changes in your life that are very critical. And, you know, I've talked about before, obviously, when you have a child, it's very important to me. Like, now it's no time to play around. Like, the whole, like, experimentation kind of phase is out the door. It's like, I am now responsible for another life, right? So what am I doing? Like, how am I thinking that through? So, you know, and then when you tired, you tired. You tired. You know, and so we get tired and we don't want to be tired all the time. Like, you know, I'm like, I want joy. I want to make sure my cup is full. Like, how am I living my life? Like, I always say, don't let nobody waste your time. Like, that's one thing, like, we talk about, like, you know, life and the trajectory of life and what, you know, it's like, I don't care if it's a relationship or friendship, business, whatever it is, like, don't let it waste your time. Mm. It's just not worth it.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, those are things that come to my mind and how I process when I'm making a pivotal, there's a pivotal moment in my life and in any aspect of my life.
Yeah. When you hear people talk about it, it does seem like, oh, that's so simple. But when you're in it, it is like, it's really hard to collect yourself when you're trying to leave something and you're like, you're so used to something.
Yeah.
Even if it's toxic. Like, I have women write into me, Sierra, that are like, the fear of being alone sometimes is worse than the fear of staying in something toxic.
Yeah.
And I wonder, like, what advice you have, because
well,
it's like,
the thing is that what you do learn is toxicity it can kill you. Mm-hmm. Like, toxicity, putting toxic things into your body is not good. It's not. Like, so I think it's like, we have to be real with ourselves, right? It's like, what do you want out of life for yourself? You have to be a little selfish in your thought process, and whatever's around you needs to align with that, right? Like, you know, that's important. Like, but that whole, like, the toxic, like, is like, there's nothing fun about, you know, being confused all the time, or someone taking you on, like, the ring around. Like, that's not fun.
It's not fun. Yeah. And I feel like, from my personal experience, like, I've been in some toxic relationships where it almost, you can normalize it. Like, when you're in it for long enough, and I like that you spoke about it, like, there is a moment, and I pray for a lot of women listening, like, you catch that moment before it gets really detrimental to your own health. But, like, there's that moment, you know, but for a while, you can, like, have full blinders on and just not see it because it becomes so normalized. Yeah. I'm wondering, like, when you were younger, like, what is something that you now recognize is a red flag, but at the time you would either, like, ignore or maybe, like, turn away from?
Well, yeah, it's like, how is a person talking to you? Mm-hmm. How do they treat others? How do they, you know, you do ignore a lot of stuff, like, when you just want to see what you want to see. Mm-hmm. But again, when you start thinking holistically, it's like, you know, no one's going to be perfect, mm-hmm. but you do want the one that's perfect for you. Like, and how many boxes can they check off for you that fits, mm-hmm. like, what your desire is? Yeah. And it should be both ways, right? Me and Russ, we always talk about being equally yoked. Mm-hmm. Like, for us from day one, like, honestly, I think it was a, you know, healthy place. And I thank God, because we always saw, we kind of saw a lot of things the same way. So I think that's more than half the battle when you're kind of aligned. Yeah, it's definitely like how someone talks to you. Mm-hmm. What's their track record?
Girl.
What's their track record? And sometimes too, like, listen, you know, you see things how you see them. Like, sometimes you do overlook things because of your perspective. And again, it's like, you're trying to see things like the glass half full. Mm-hmm. Like, you're trying to see it from a positive lens. But again, like, what's a person doing? I think more than anything, it's like, they can tell you everything. A person can be like, oh, I've changed and I'm doing that. And I've heard those stories before.
Of course.
I've heard that song before. Mm-hmm. But what are they doing? Mm-hmm. Right? And I think sometimes you tend to put the words before the actions. Mm-hmm. Right? You listen more versus, like, just watching, like, mm-hmm. how are they showing up or not showing up? Like, so true. And then sometimes you don't realize, like, they're telling you the same thing in a different way. It's like, well, wait a minute. What you told me last time, you told me the same thing again, and you're doing the same thing again. Okay. So, like,
what the fuck?
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And yeah.
And I love what you said about you and Russell. It's like, we're very similar in the way that we think and what we like and what we believe in. And, like, of course, everyone's different. But when you find yourself trying to make something work so hard, and you're the one that's constantly forgiving or coming back. Full stop.
Yeah.
Like, red flag. Red flag.
Yeah, for sure. It's like, it takes two.
Yeah.
You know, and like, how are you showing up? Like, mm-hmm. you ain't showing up. Mm-hmm. So I ain't showing up either. I'm actually going, I'm out. Like, yeah, I ain't showing up and I'm cool. Like, you ain't going to exhaust me to the, because honestly, you can lose yourself in those moments. Like, and like I said, it's one of my greatest fears. And I've been there before. I'm looking at someone, I'm like, you ain't going to waste my life. I'm sorry. Like, that's not an option. Like,
it's so scary, it's, though, right?
It is scary. It is scary. But, you know, you got to, like, put your foot down for what you want and what you deserve.
All the girlies are taking notes right now. They're like, fuck yes, Ciara. Yes. Like, yes. But
don't be afraid.
No, yeah, you're right. Don't be afraid of, like, the best part is leaving. The best part is getting out. The best part is finding yourself without that person. And obviously, you now are in such a healthy relationship, it looks, and I'm so happy for you. Just like, even when you talk about him, I can just tell, like, yeah, like, you're happy. And so I also wonder, like, when you go into a healthy relationship, I think sometimes it's so annoying, but, like, sometimes we can't help but bring our baggage and our habits from our past relationships that we've had in our life. Like, was there anything that you had to unlearn essentially when you got into your relationship with Russell?
Leave it at the door. That, I think that's so important for yourself and your own sanity, but it's also not fair to your partner to bring old baggage that is from the past, because then I think you don't give yourself an opportunity to fully be in that love and be engulfed in that love and to create something fresh for yourself. Before Russ came into my life, like, I didn't think he was gonna come into my life that fast, to be honest with you, but before he came into my life, the place that I was at mentally when I decided, like, you know, I'm desiring something different, and I was clear on, like, I was very intentional in that phase of my life, and obviously you have my baby in my life, my firstborn. You know, I took that moment for myself, because I think sometimes too, like, if we go back to back, you know, in relationships, you also aren't having a chance to, like, make peace with yourself and to really, like, tap into you in a way that you maybe don't know you need to, but you need to sometimes pause, like, take a break and just, like, love on yourself, reset, get clarity. You know, the past is the past. Where are you trying to, where do you want to, and really truly look ahead, like, and be clear and intentional with that. So I think I will say the moment before Russ came into my life, I said, I thought I was going to be single for, like, 4 years at least. I was like, I'm not doing this. No, I'm tired. Like, I'm like, it's what's going on, and it's self-reflecting, it's everything going on, right? So I had, like, to go through that phase and that process and that journey, you know. And so in that moment when you're resetting, the things that are of the past are they're starting to become of the past to you, right? So it's like you're already clearing up your mind just in general for yourself, like, not even for someone to come into my life, but just me doing this self-cleanse thing I need to do with myself, like, get really find myself, like, who am I, like, what's this woman want to feel like when she walks throughout the world, like, what does she talk like, what does she think like, like, I mean, it's all these things that are about myself. I'm like, this is what I need for me, right? And then of course, like, who's gonna be in her life, like, I'm thinking about these things and I'm like, I mean, my mind is as vivid as it can be. I'm like, he's going to be a man of God. Like, he's going to love kids because I have a child now. I'm like, he's going to love to, like, travel the world. Like, I mean, all these things, like, I'm envisioning it so much that I can taste. So we talk about those taste buds, that taste bud starts to have a palate that's all, it's like fit for all that stuff. So I'm thinking that way, you know, already. So when I see it, I know it. And when I saw my honey, my husband, like, I've never seen anything like that. Never. Not, I haven't talked to anyone like that. Like, I haven't felt anything like that. But I felt everything that I said. Like, I almost can cry. My hormones. But maybe it's not my hormones. But I could, like, see. Like, it was exactly what I was seeing right in front of me. Like, it's crazy.
Oh, my God.
Like, crazy.
How? When did you meet him? Like, what was the situation? How did you meet?
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Some things work so well. It's basically magic. Like my favorite highlighters that I'm like, wow, how did you all of a sudden make me look glowing? And you know what else really works, Dottie Gang? Shopify. It is a global commerce platform that helps you sell. I've seen a big difference in my online merch sales. They are especially good at turning browsers into buyers. I can see someone that's been on the site but didn't check out, or someone that checked out and then is revisiting the site. Like, if you want to grow your business, Daddy Gang, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/unwell, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/unwell.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
When did you meet him? Like, what was the situation? How did you meet?
We met, when did we meet? What year was this? 2015.
Okay.
We met in 2015.
Okay. Where were you?
We were actually in California. Okay. And the crazy thing is we started talking early at first. Mm-hmm. We were chatting a little bit, and then we had our first in-person meeting. Okay. Before we met in person, we were chatting a little bit. And when he met in person, it was the craziest thing, because I was trying to make sure I'm doing this right, because mm-hmm. mind you, I hadn't met a guy at this point. I hadn't talked to a guy or anything at this point. So I'm like, this is like, you know, it's a guy in general. And then he was like, when we were meeting, I'm like, I also was looking at it from a friendship perspective, you know.
Sierra.
I'm just saying, like, you know, the build up before you get there. And he was like, what friendship? He's like, I want looking for no friend, you know. So we joke about that.
I love it.
Because I want to be like really like
best buds
and like,
it's like, get out of here.
Yeah, what you talking about? I mean, but he was cute though, you know. we're gonna go in phases kind of thing.
Right.
But when we met in person, the first time in person we talked was actually at my place.
Oh.
And, you know, it was the best thing for the both of us. We felt, because even though we were, you know, meeting as friends and all that stuff, even though we're doing that,
it's not a date.
You know, my son was there and my dad was there. So see, the friendship perspective.
Oh yeah, you really were like, he's probably like, oh my God, I'm meeting the dad. And you're like, no, you're just a homie.
No. We actually talked about it. And you know, what did he say to me? He was like, well, I'm gonna have to meet him anyways. Like, Russ was very like.
I love it, confident.
Like, very. So I'm like, you know, so we meet. And again, that's not like a traditional way. I'm not telling someone to do that.
Yeah.
But because it's he and I, mm-hmm. you know, you're public figures in our world, unfortunately, oftentimes, I think if you jump, you put the cart before the horse before mm-hmm. you are officially together, the world puts this pressure on you. And this, it's just become something else that it kind of like gets in the way of what, you know, the true thing is that's there, could be. Mm-hmm. So we just were being private, basically.
Love
it. We were going to go out to dinner, and then we kind of like, let's keep it in.
What did you guys do?
So we just talked, and we were supposed to have dinner. Food was like, belly was like, content. Even though it was hungry, it was content, like, you know, because we were like talking, and it was crazy. Everything that we talked about, like, we were aligned on, like, and I'm not gonna lie to you, it was one point in time we were talking and he was talking to me and I wasn't hearing nothing he was saying, because I was like, he's so beautiful. Like, I'm looking at him, I'm like, he's like gorgeous, like, because I didn't look him up. I didn't want to know anything about like him before we met,
right?
So I'm just like, wow. Yeah, no, I was. Like, I was literally just sitting there, like, he's talking. I'm like, mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, wait, but just run. Yeah, just yeah, run. Yeah. Just run.
No, shit. But the words are going like this, whew, over my head. And so, yes, you
he's
know.
He's like, do you agree? You're like, uh-huh.
That part.
What'd you say? Like, yeah, right. Love that, for sure.
I mean, I'm hearing what he's saying. I'm in the conversation, but I can't remember all that we were saying, you know. So
he's looking great.
It was nice. So we just sat and talked, dude. And I knew, and I said this the other day, when I was talking to him, I was like, this is something different. Mm-hmm. I knew, like, that I'd never felt what I felt in that moment. I knew this was a different man that I was talking to than, you know, I just knew, like, I just, it was different. Like, so much to the point that I called Yoli, my best friend. I called her after and I said, Yoli, I was like, I don't want to jinx anything. I was like, but I think he's, and she goes, the one. And I go, yes. Like, I never said that in my life. Never said that in my life. So.
It was meant to be.
Without a doubt.
But
without a doubt.
What was it about him that really impressed you that day?
It was, you know what, his conversation, how he talked about life. It's also a feeling too, you know. It's kind of hard to put in words, but I know what I'm talking to. Like I said, those taste buds are activated. Like, I'm talking to, like, every sensor, everything that I had on the palate was like stimulated. It was like clear, like, you know. And so I just knew, like, even how he talked to my dad, you know, and my son was like moving around, and at some point in time, like, he's holding him. Like, there was actually this funny thing that, y'all think we ever told by this, but where there's this chair that's like in my living, in my kitchen, and the chair is like about to fall over, and Future is literally, my son is, he's right there, and literally Russ like slides and the socks catches the chair. It honestly, no, it's, this may sound dramatic, but no lie, he slides over, catches the chair, and I'm like, okay. Okay, Superman, we got a Superman in a bit. And I was like, no, but you know,
you were literally sitting there like,
no, it was just everything. No, it was everything good. About everything, everything. Like, there wasn't one thing that wasn't something. Like,
yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Like, I know what everything. You're saying too, and I think it's important because obviously, like you said, which I love that you're explaining, after a breakup of what you know you don't want anymore, and you have that moment within yourself, you quickly align of like, whoa, I gotta get my shit together. Like, I didn't like how I felt. I didn't like this, or I liked this and I wanna bring this into my next relationship, whatever it is. But then when you meet that person, especially when you've had maybe not like the healthiest of relationships before, it's a feeling of like, you still have those like giddy butterflies. Like we said, like you're drooling in the corner, but it's, you, there's a sense of like calmness. And I remember I felt it with my fiance because it was like, it keeps me on my toes and it's so exciting, but it's like safe and calm and I'm not insecure and I'm not like, there's still that feeling of like, oh, you want to impress them and have fun, but it's a different level of connection where you feel like you've known them for a long time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It is.
Like, there's something there that you're like, whoa, like your soul's almost, this is like corny, but like, it's like almost like you knew you were supposed to meet.
No, 100%. Right? No. 100%. Like, cause that's what, and also too, like, and I think I've said this, but just in case, it's like literally the conversation we're having is so aligned. Like, you're going back and forth and you're like, you're going like, yes, like everything you're saying is like a fiery kind of feeling to it because you're like almost talking to yourself a little bit.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. But there's something you made me think about. Hold on, wait, let me see. Oh, but the giddy thing, right? Mm-hmm. What's so amazing, and I feel so blessed, because now we are in year 7 of marriage, 8 years of being together. Full baby on my way.
Love it.
No. Is that I still get the giddy feeling. Mm-hmm. I think it's so important. We always talk about that, right? Is that you still want to, like, Russ always says, you know, I believe his dad would say to him, like, you got to always compete. Or it's kind of one of his things that he came up with, but you got to always compete. Mm-hmm. So it is that thing where it's like, even though you do build a comfort over time, you still want to, like, you know, you still want to make sure you keep it like cute, you want to keep it sexy, you want to keep it spicy, you want to keep it fun. Like, we still do, we do date nights every Friday.
Oh,
because in football, that's the off day. So we do date nights every Friday and we stay committed to that. And we like look for, it's something I look forward to. And the fires, they burn, like, you know, and you still feel like dating all over. The other night we played Uno at dinner and I was like, and I said, babe, can we take the Uno cards? And he was like, yeah, we take, you know. But, and he played Uno, but that was the little things. Like, and I was like, I had so much, I literally told him the next morning, I'm like, I had so much fun. Like,
that's so great.
So I think it's like, you know, it's all that, you know, it's like, you know, do you have someone in your life that's also down to try new things with you? Like, do they accept you at your lowest of your low points, right? Like, every day is not perfect.
Yeah.
Like, I've had moments where I look up, you know, and I'm going through a challenging time, and he's the one person, the only person I can look to in that moment. and he has always has the right words to say. Like, you know, all those things are important too. Like, how does a person speak to you when you're at your low, right? In your relationship, because that's key. Like, it's really you too. Like,
so true.
When it's all said and done, like, it's you too, and you have your kids, of course, too. But like,
it's the two of you.
Yeah.
Even hearing you too, like, when he came over, it wasn't just you. Like, you had a son. Like, you have a son. You're like, you're bringing someone into your life that now is not just going to be a relationship with yourself. You need to also have a relationship with my son. Like, how did he take on being a stepfather?
Oh, he jumped right in. Wow. Changing the diapers right away. No hesitation. He's an amazing father. Like, watching him with all of our kids is like, it is one of the sweetest things. It's one of the sexiest things, to be honest with you. I'm just saying, ladies, when a man jumps in and changes the diapers and he be pulling up to the teacher parent conferences and he be, you know, it's like, ooh. He surprised Cece at the dentist the other day and she was like, Daddy. And I was like, Daddy. I would say the same thing too.
Like, Daddy at the dentist? Like,
yeah. I'm like, okay. But it is, that's what you want.
It's,
like, you,
so good.
That feels good, you know. It's
so
like,
good.
It feels good when, you know, there's something about a man turning on that part of them. Like, you know, they're manning for you. They're being a man for you, but they're also being a man for your family.
Yeah.
Like, there's no better feeling than knowing that when we all look up and if we look at him, like, he's got us. Like, I know he's going to wrap his arms around me and my babies fully. Like, there's no depth that he won't go to for us, or to make sure things are like right for us. Like, that that it's kind of hard to put that in words, but that feels good.
We gotta know, Sierra,
what
is your favorite part about being married to a professional athlete?
Oh gosh. You know what's crazy, I loved football before he came into my life. Like, I'm a tomboy, so I watched the game with my dad growing up. But, you know, I mean, I think I say that because I think that you really enjoy, I really enjoy the journey with him. I enjoy the highs and the lows with him. I enjoy his competitive nature. Like, I really respect it. Like, one thing about Russ is, like, when it comes to football, he is so dedicated to football. It's like football and family. Like, I mean, he's really dedicated to his game. And I really admire that. So obviously doing what I do, I feel like I get so much of a motivational dose, like, every day on his journey and what I do. Like, I get really inspired. Like, you know, you would think that I'm in the huddle with him when he's in the huddle. You would think that, because, like, I'm in this thing. Like, but we have so much fun. Like, sports, you know, sports are such a powerful force. Music is a powerful force. So it's such a blessing to have sports and music in our household. But I do enjoy, like, the joy that we get, even, you know, like I say, the highs and the lows, getting ready for each Sunday, or if it's a Monday night or a Thursday night, you know, the drum up in our household with the kids, like, also being excited and being able, it's just a whole, like, it's a blessing.
I was about to say, like, tell us, what's the vibe of the house on game day? Like, what are we doing?
Okay, game day. Okay, so Russ is a creature of habit.
Okay,
so he's like very consistent. So it's very routine. You know, he does his body work, his treatment work, and all that good stuff. And he's in his piece then. And typically when he does it, I'm with him.
Okay.
So mommy's like, okay, kids, like, I'll be right back. Like, but I gotta be there, like, in that zen moment. And then he goes through his motion to prepare for the game. And then the kids are definitely upstairs running around, like, chaos, turned up, excited, you know. It's not that serious for them at this age. Although I will say Future is getting more serious. He's also into sports too.
Okay.
So he can feel a little bit of the journey too.
Mm-hmm.
Sienna's like, go, Daddy!
Yeah, you know? Get it.
Yeah, and Wynn's like, go, Daddy! I mean, it's just different levels, right?
Yes.
But we have that flow, and then he gets ready. He gets ready to roll out the door. We do prayer every time before a game as a family. He goes off to do his thing, and then it's me and the babies. We're getting ourselves together. We ride to the car. We jam out. I'm DJ Mama. The kids are DJs too. They all want to pick their own songs. It's all the good energy rolling up to the stadium, and then we roll into the suite. And then, you know, when you sit down, I'm not gonna lie to you guys, especially being pregnant, the emotional roller coaster is like, oh, Lord. I'd be talking to myself, like, I mean, it's just a journey. I'm like, geez, heart, stop pumping so fast sometimes. Like, it's crazy.
I love it, though.
Like, it's crazy because you feel, like I said, I'm in the huddle, too. I'm out there, like, you know.
Let's in my go, own boys. Way,
you know, I'm wanting, you know, always the best outcome. Mm-hmm. So.
It's so good.
But it's fun. And after the game, we eat dinner together, you know, or whatnot, and it's pretty chill. It's exciting, but it's pretty chill, right? Because it's super, you know, Russ is really serious about what he does, and I think it's important that we respect that journey, that mm-hmm. process for him,
yeah,
you know, on a daily basis. So we try to make sure we kind of, you know, we it's a combination of all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. I love it,
but it's fun.
I'm thinking of you saying you're also in the car with your babies. I'm like, yes. Do you play them your music? Do they know mom's music?
Okay, when it's new.
Okay.
But I don't like playing my music back to me. I just feel like...
I get it.
That's kind of weird sometimes.
Do you think...
But I'm not going to lie to you.
Oh, tell me.
When I have a song that I really love, I might listen to myself a little bit. You know, just a little bit. You know, and my kids, they may pick my songs. Like, when I put up Level Up, they love that song. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying because it's my record, but I really love my song, How We Roll. That's my jam. And I ain't gonna lie, I put it on the other day and played it back about 7 times. I'm like, this song just feels so good. Like, it's me in a, you
but
know.
Also the same with like Loki and BRB. I was like, okay, hey, like yeah. It's a vibe. And I wonder if Russell plays it in the car for the kids while you're not there. He's like, guys, this is mommy.
He will. You know, he's really big on like, guys, you gotta listen to mommy's music. He will make sure they know my music mm-hmm. or hear it and mm-hmm. listen to it. But he'll definitely make sure the kids, like, you know, support mommy, mm-hmm. which is sweet. Like, I think one day it was like the kids were having to pick between one song and the other. I don't even know what the songs were, but one of them was mine and one wasn't. And he was like, you better pick your mom's song. You know, so
like, let's keep it real. We know who we support in this family.
Let's make sure we, you know.
I love it.
Yes.
It's really cute to eat because I'm sitting here and I'm like, you've won a Grammy. He's won a Super Bowl. Like, you guys are the ultimate power couple. And I think a lot of people look at you guys and envy you, obviously. And it's like, whoa, their life is so amazing. Like, when you do go through the hard moments, like, how do you guys level set each other? Like, what is the process of keeping each other grounded and keeping each other, like,
being able to be honest and communicate, I think, has been game-changing for us. And even when it's ugly, sometimes it's got to get a little ugly. Like I said, get a little ugly before you get to the pretty. Mm-hmm. But I just think there's nothing better for me than knowing, like, I was able to say what I felt fully, mm-hmm. and he heard me.
Yeah. And don't you like it, too?
And vice versa.
It's different in that type of relationship where, you know, like, you're both trying to come back together, and like, you both have the same goal. Like, no one's winning. No, we actually just have to hear each other, understand it. Where in other relationships I've had, it's like, oh, this is just an ego thing. Like, I'm never gonna win because you aren't even listening to what I'm saying.
When you say the word toxic, it kind of rings a certain way for me, because like I said to you earlier, I'm like, toxic things can do damage to you, can be harmful to you.
Yeah.
So the glorifying of things that are harmful to you will never be cool to me. Mm-hmm. Never be cool, like, never be fly, never be the way of, you know, it's just, that's just not it to me, mm-hmm. personally. So
you have this great relationship now, knowing the relationships you've had in the past of, like, sometimes you got to go through the bad to get to the good, like we said. So it is exciting for, I think, for women listening of, like, oh, like, even if you're in the trenches right now listening to this and you're not in a healthy relationship, or you're not feeling good about yourself, or it's an abusive situation, whatever you're in, like, you can get out.
Yes,
you and can. You can find happiness and you can find what you deserve. But again, patience, like, give yourself some grace. It can't happen overnight.
100%.
But it is nice to hear from you of, like, it can happen.
It can Here happen, baby.
Let's talk about your music, though, because, like I said, we were all jamming to it in the office today. We were just, like, laughing. We were blasting it. We're like, how creepy if she, like, rolls up and we're just, like, screaming your music. But now I'm like, I think you would have liked it. It would have been kind of fun.
I might jump in and dance with you. Hey.
Your EP, CC. I need to understand.
Yeah.
Who is CC? Who is Sierra? Talk to me about the two.
So, CC and Sierra are connected. It's not an alter ego.
Okay.
But there is an energy that comes out when you say CC. Like, I turn my lip up a little bit. She get a little stank with it. I'm from Atlanta. So, you know, there's a lot of soul in what we do there. And, you know, when I came up, it was obviously my nickname, but people would be like, you know, when they say, go CC, go CC, go CC, go CC. Like, there's an energy that comes with that. There's a feeling that comes with that. And it's, you know, it's, I would say, I really, on this project, I wanted to make sure I had those core elements of what that is, because mm-hmm. that's something special for me from a music standpoint.
Yeah.
Like, when you say go CC, when you say go CC, go CC, go, like there's something about that that's just like a little, it's a little saucy, you know. And so you know, that's kind of it. It's not an alter ego though.
Yeah, it's just like a little bit more of like
a little more
vibe.
Sass.
Yeah, like a little sassy vibe.
She got a little more sass to her CC era, you know. If you talk to me and I'm in my like Sierra mode, and it depends on the situation, I try to like, you know, like Michelle said, when they go low, you go high.
Yep.
You know, that kind of thing. CC might, she might snap back a little bit. She might bite back a little bit. Just a little bit.
I love it.
A little more, you know.
What do you want people to like feel when they're listening to this music? Like, is there a specific place you envision people listening to it? What's the vibe?
I feel like this music on this project is kind of like that perfect house party energy, where you can like kick back if you want to. It's feel good. It's a little, it's a sexy record, but it's also, if you want to like chill back, people, if you want to roll up on the skates, or roll up literally if you want to, you know, put toast up to it if you want to. My song Two in Love, it's a slower record. That's a moment where I'm trying to remember, it was like one night Russ and I like had a little bit of a disagreement. And I'm like, gosh, like the truth is I'm just too in love, you know?
I was listening to it, I was like, oh my gosh, like this is like really like all about how in love you are. And I love it.
It's so sweet.
It's so, so sweet.
Well, you know, it's that feeling on that record where it's like you're upset. Like, you know, I watched this TikTok or something someone was doing and they were like mad at each other. It's like, this is how couples do when you're mad, like, but you still love each other. And like, you slam the car, you let them in the car, but you slam the door hard.
Yeah.
Or you like got to get them food, but you open the fridge with attitude and you close the fridge with attitude, like that kind of energy. Yes. So like on Two in Love, I'm like, ugh, like you, he always put his arms around me a certain way. And like, if he doesn't do it, I'm like with someone we're sleeping, I'm like, I feel that. Like, but I mean, I want to be mad too, but I want you to put your arm on me. Like, you know, I'm like, it's like all those kind of feelings. So before I put this project out, it's exactly like what I wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. And there's no better feeling than that.
Yeah. You now being able to do things on your own and figure out what you want to continue to sound like as your career continues to grow and expand.
Yeah.
It's just truly, it was such an honor sitting with you today. Because
yay,
like you are such an accomplished woman, and sitting with you and getting any of the wisdom we can get from you today, Sierra, I know I'm like, I'm taking it in note. I'm like, everyone's writing notes. Aww. Like, you're just such an inspiration. And it's really surreal for me to sit down with you today because I'm such a fan. And thank you. And congrats on your baby.
Thank you.
So happy you're expanding the family. Maybe we'll see a number five at one point.
You sound like Russ. Like, don't get crazy now. Okay, let's just go one baby at a time.
Thank you, Sierra.
I had so much fun. And congratulations to you. You were like killing it. Like, I think there was this new article on about you on Forbes. And, you know, I mean, keep on doing what you're doing. You're obviously doing, you're obviously giving a platform for women. You've created a platform for women that is very important and critical. And your personality is incredible. So keep on shining your light.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Cheers. Woo!
Woohoo!
We did it!
Call her daddy.
Woo!